Good morning, everybody. We're coming to you live from inside the main build facility here at Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. I'm Tom. The ladies' man is not with us, but he's here today, and we all know the master Bubba. Good morning, Bub. How you doing today?
Question.
Got it.
Why do we not have our logo and decal on the door behind us?
Ladies and gentlemen, can somebody out there around the world please take care of that for me?
I just thought about this. I mean, come on, if we're going to be filming right here, and I mean, you really, when you have a backdrop, like we have, of course, our one and only Monkey in Paradise Double Gold Award winning vodka sitting here in the corner. We've got our logo there, but I mean, well, I feel like right here should be like the entire crown.
You're right, and we'll make that happen.
Okay, we're going
to
change it.
Ladies
Sorry,
and
guys.
Gentlemen, this episode's brought to you by Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. That's bubbasexoticmotorsports.com. Check it out. You'll see all the great stuff that goes on here. Miss Outlaw Boutique, msoutlawboutique.com, 561-660-6695. Monkey in Paradise, the 2017 San Francisco World Spirits Competition double gold winner, Bub. Monkey in Paradise wants to know, what's your paradise?
Keep in mind, guys, the double gold in the San Francisco Spirits Competition, it doesn't get any better than that. If you were a wrestler, right, and there's like that big gold belt they hold up, like when you win the championship, it's that type of deal. When you hit that point, the double gold, this isn't a single gold, this isn't a silver, this isn't a bronze. This is a double gold. I didn't say LeBron, stop it.
No,
this
you
is
didn't.
A double gold, two-time award-winning vodka. There is no more, there's no further. That is it. It is the world's best vodka.
It is, and it's the first time anybody's ever taken double gold in one show, Bub.
Yep.
Monkey in Paradise, man. That's part of the Lion Pride, isn't it?
That's strength right there, dude.
That's strength.
That's good quality and strength. That's all that is.
Monkey in Paradise is vodka done Bubba style, right?
That's it.
Love it. Tony Rienzi, TonyRienzi.com. Exotic car guru and salesman to the stars, cars and coffee of Palm Beach. Bub, this is going to be a technical segment. It's one we've gotten a lot of requests for. People want to know about how to paint a car properly. Mm-hmm. So we're going to step into this thing. Once we finish the bodywork, Bub, let's get into the technical side of how do we paint a car. We have an entire table full of products here, Bub.
Yeah.
Each one matching in their demeanor. Each one matching in their demeanor. By the way, we have to say good morning to Jose from Arrigo, who just started dropping off parts for the Monkey in Paradise Challenger you're building currently. So good morning, Jose. There's your shout out.
Yeah, the Monkey in Paradise Challenger. What was their paradise?
Ooh,
not that
me
one.
Me driving the Challenger. How about that?
Not that one.
How about
Man,
that?
Man, I'll tell you what, but that car's coming along really, really well, too. You know, for those of you who haven't seen it yet, this is a brand new 2016 Challenger SRT8. It is, again, the top dog. Now, hard to say that because you've got the Hellcat creeping around the corner and the Demon coming out at a world record-breaking 0-60 in 2.3. Are you freaking kidding me, dude? Yeah. Porsches can't do that. 918s can't do it with the electric series setup on it. I'll tell you what, they can't do it. And you're looking at only a price tag of 80 to 100 grand versus 899 to a million two. Come on.
By the way, if we're talking about the Hellcats, let's give a big shout out to Nick Hogan, our friend out there in California.
He's in Tampa right now with his dad.
Okay. Nick is the son of, and Nick is a very famous drift and rally car driver himself. He is the son of the amazing Hulk Hogan, who resides on the west side of the state. So good morning, Hulk, and good morning, Nick.
Which is super funny, too, by the way, because you want to talk about something like total inspiration. So the other day I was in the gym working out. I don't know, this was maybe like 4:30 in the afternoon. I'm working out.
Wait, don't tell me that you were talking to Nick and he was motivating.
No, so check it out. So I was talking to Nick, right? And we were talking about, I was doing like shoulder presses or something. So I'm doing my presses and I told him how lately I've just been doing three sets of six or three sets of eight, just super, super heavy and just pushing weight, not so much for the rep or the cut right now. So I've been pushing it, building it up, and he sent a picture of him and Dad next to each other.
Oh, right on. Man.
And I'm like, dude, that guy is freaking stout. Like, you know, Nick's pretty decent size. I'd
he
say
is.
5'10".
He's your
maybe.
Size.
I'd say, yeah, 5'9", 5'10". Mm-hmm. I'd say 5'10", maybe 5'11". I'd say 230, you know, and just looking at him, pretty stout, pretty solid. But, dude, when he was standing next to the one and only Hulk, let me tell you, I was like, dude, how is Dad still looking that fit? He was like 300 pounds right now. I think he's 64.
Yep.
300 pounds, 6'4", and he's 4 inches shorter from all of the back surgeries he's had done. He was 6'8 at the height of his career.
You know, the beauty of it is, the height of his career.
The height.
Short.
You
got it.
Get it.
The beauty of it is, Bub, the Hulk, knowing him personally is different than seeing him on television. He's one of the nicest guys you're ever going to meet, man.
Yeah.
Great demeanor, great people, man. The whole Hogan family, mom, dad, all good people, all good people.
Yep.
Bub, let's jump into this thing. We've got the bodywork completed on the car, which, as you know, takes a couple years to do. If it's a classic car, not so long if it's one of the exotics that's not suffering from rot or something like that.
Yeah, so, I mean, typically, I mean, just to bump in on that real quick, you know, it's typically when you're dealing with, you know, a lot of these guys wonder, you know, hey, how come you've gotten that car in and out so fast and mine's been there for a year? So check it out. When you're dealing with something that's like an ABS composite, which is a formed plastic, it's very flexible and pliable, that's 99% of today's vehicles. They're very lightweight. It's either aluminum metal mix or they're composite with plastics. Very, very easy, weak, formable, pliable parts. So when you go to work these things, you're not working with parts that are true steel that rust, rot, that fall apart, that have, you know, when you get a dent in the things, you have trouble pulling them back out because it's thick steel, it's hard to deal with. You know, you're welding on studs. You don't have to really worry about that in today's cars. Today's cars are very, very, I guess you could say, what, modular in the fact that, you know, if you have a problem with your front bumper, if you bump a curb, a lower valence, or if you back into somebody, now granted, you can still have really severe body damage on today's cars, which we just had one of the vehicles come in like that. But if it's most of today's vehicles, you get a scratch, the material is so pliable that if you bump into something, typically your bumper will collapse in, which you could typically either have to heat the bumper to pop it back out or just buy a new bumper cover. So it's easy. You take it off, you unbolt it, very easy. No broken bolts, no rusted out parts. You paint the thing, you clear it, you wet sand and buff it and stick it back on. So the job that on an older car could take upwards of 3 weeks because you're dealing with broken bolts, rusted out items, rusty holes everywhere. You know, you start grinding away paint and before you know it, you're in 10 layers of Bondo because the thing's been hit before. You know, the stuff that you deal with there could really take just 2 days on a modern vehicle.
Sure. And that the modern vehicles are much easier because you're dealing with aluminum fasteners and things like that.
Yep.
So they don't rust into place like the older
vehicles. A lot easier.
We knew. Bob, we got the car. Let's assume we've got the car all prepped. We have a variety of materials here and a variety of different pieces of equipment.
Mm-hmm.
First thing, Bub, the one thing you will not do is climb into the paint shop without a respirator on. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what keeps your lungs from filtering in all of the toxins and poisons. Paint is very poisonous. When you do this, just as we've instructed you on how to do it videos, cover your eyes when you're using a hammer, when you're underneath of a
grinders,
car.
Grinders, things like that.
Anything like that. Again, Bub always operates from a position of safety. This is simply a mask that has filters on it, and on the back side, there's a recess for your mouth and nose to go in. It helps filter out all of the toxins and the poisons so that you can function properly. Believe me, you don't want to get lightheaded in a paint booth or in a paint area and start trying to paint because when it comes on very quickly and very strong.
And then you wind up just laying on the floor higher than a kite and all you're doing is holding the trigger wide open, probably shooting clear everywhere. I could see this.
Exactly.
True story.
Bub, another tool that you use before we talk about the chemicals you use is this tool right here.
Yep.
What is this?
It's just very simple. This is nothing more than a basic tool, kind of like a flathead screwdriver that's specifically meant to open all of these cans of paint, whether it's reducers, whether it's mixers, hardeners, any of those components that just have a removable lid like that.
And this allows your thumb to sit right here in this recess, and the way that this is bent allows you to get under the can and literally pry it up. That way you're not breaking the tip of a screwdriver. It's very solid and it's designed to be subjected to
And
that.
Not to cheapen it down, but they're throwaways essentially. These are a couple bucks. You wouldn't want to use a Snap-on $70 screwdriver in your paint department because before you know it, it's going to be destroyed. You've dipped it in paint. Now, granted, you can wipe it off with lacquer thinner. You can wipe the handle off and clean it. But how much are you really going to want to destroy that tool? Higher end, very expensive when you can use something like this. It's a couple bucks over the counter. You buy 50 of them and you toss them once they're beat up. The ends of them are bent a little bit. You just toss them and get new ones.
The other thing you can do is as you collect metal for people, one of the things we do, we try to help the economy grow and we give back to the economy. We save every piece of metal that we take off a vehicle and we put it in a metal bin so that when the scrap man comes, he can feed his family and little things like that add up.
Hold on, give me 1 second, I'll be back.
The next thing that Bub uses is a paint gun. This is an example. The air hose letting go.
Freaking air hose has been running for like 10 minutes. It's driving me nuts.
This is an example of Bub's personal paint gun. Bub, tell us what kind of paint gun we've got here.
Yeah, so this is just an HVLP, high velocity, low pressure paint gun. This is a very entry level gun. There are guys that will spend upwards of $500,000, $800,000 on a gun, depending on the type of quality paint you're shooting. This one's very generic, very basic. This is just a Husky brand, nothing more than your local bought Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart. Well, not Walmart. You can't really get this kind of gun there. But it's just a decent gun that works. It's a good gun for the fact that if you do shoot a lot of stuff, which we shoot a lot of items, whether you're shooting primer, paints, clears, custom paints, flakes, you can literally take these things for the 100 bucks, 80 bucks they are, toss them when you're done, grab a new one, and keep rolling with it.
The way this works, ladies and gentlemen, is once Bub's paint is mixed, he loads it in the top of this reservoir right here. These paint guns, and you can see Bub keeps things very clean.
How about that? That was coming.
Yep. You keep things very clean and with fluid in them. Bub, that's monkey in paradise.
No, it's not. It's lacquer thinner, I promise. double gold award lacquer thinner.
This is double gold award winning lacquer thinner, ladies and gentlemen. Anyways, he keeps his guns very clean. I bet I can make it pee.
There it is. Right on the iPad.
And Bub, let's talk about what this piece is right here.
So that right there at the inlet of the gun, that's where you connect your air feed. That's from your shop compressor. That is actually a regulator with a gauge on the side. Again, these are very, very basic run-of-the-mill items that you just pick up locally. This is one that I use for my everyday spraying. I'll shoot anything between primers, the base coats through it, to clear us through it on basic lower-end stuff. If you were to shoot a vehicle in all PPG Vibrance, I'm going to want to use a much better gun, something that flows a lot more smooth. You're dealing with, again, we talked about yesterday, $5,000 worth of paint material versus $1,000 worth of paint material. So you can get very beautiful flow out of this. Yes, they're going to clog up. They're going to wear out. So that's why, for this price, it's a great gun to grab it, use it, get as much out of it as you can, toss it, go buy another one.
Bub, can you tell us, I know that you're very meticulous about instructions and doing things the right way. We're going to talk about the mixing instructions in a minute. What does this gauge tell you here?
So this gauge at the base here, where I have my male inlet for my air pressure, this goes straight in. This will actually tell me two things. Technically, it'll tell you what your line pressure is until you pull the trigger on the gun. Once you pull the trigger back one stage, not to allow the paint flow, but just to pass oxygen through from your airline, you can actually set this to whatever the recommended paint pressure is, depending on the brand of paint you guys are using. As you can see, I'm pretty sure I've got yellow dot on here, maybe a red. I always mark all my stuff so that I know everywhere to pinpoint. Every time I'm painting, I can go 30 to 40 pounds and set it in with the regulator knob on the back, and my flow is going to be beautiful every time.
Bub, these knobs I see here, what does this knob do right here?
So that one is the one we were just describing. This actually controls air inlet pressure, which you will see on the face of the gauge here. Turning this counterclockwise or clockwise will adjust what you see over here on the gauge. Then you have your fluid control and actually your pattern. So you can do both of these, and you can adjust them around to change the depth, the size of what you're spraying, whether it's horizontally or vertically. And you can also adjust how much fluid paint, meaning that, is coming out. And you can actually see in the instructions of these books, again, guys, just follow the instructions. You open them up, and they will actually tell you what the best fan sprays are from 8 to 12 inches at 6 to 9 inches away from your panel, and then also how you want your flow pattern to look. So when you pull that trigger all the way back for a split second, shoot against a piece of cardboard at the distance recommended, and you can actually look and see the way the paint particles will flow out and lay out. You don't want them too blotchy. You don't want them too thin. You just want a nice little medium grain, and all the instructions show you this stuff. Very easy to the book. Just follow the stuff, and you can be a painter.
One of the things, Bub, we've heard you talk about is 1.4 and 1.8. Let's talk about that now while we have the physical gun in our hand.
Yeah, so what you're looking at here at the front of the gun where the actual tip is, where your air and your paint comes out, mixed combination here. Once these come out, every one of these chrome tip sizes is available in anything you can imagine, from 0.8 all the way up to 2.2. And if you get into Kevlar coatings, you can go to literally straight tubes. You do 3/8, half inch, do full Kevlar sprays with a lot of texture in them. A lot of paint companies run typically between like a 1.2 and a 1.6. So a 1.4 is always dead center. It works for primers, it works for paints, it works for clears. This is an all-around gun. Again, for the price of this gun, for what you're using, the average do-it-yourselfer can use this thing. Works beautifully, and you can take it and trash a thing when you're done, and it's not going to hurt your pocket too much.
As you can see, ladies and gentlemen, there are a series of holes here and here. And you've got, this is where your paint and your air mix is in this area. The 1.2 he's talking about, the needle, the jet sits right inside, recessed behind here. As you pull this trigger back, it allows the fluid, the paint to come out, and it mixes with the air from these two holes here, which gives you your pattern. So, Bub, now let's talk a little bit about the chemicals you have behind you here on the table.
Okay, so in what you see here, this is a, again, we mentioned that you can do everything, especially with us. We are strictly with PPG products. Everything from their shop line, their Omni brand, all the way up to their Deltrons, to their DPCs, and also DBCs, and also their Vibrant series collection, the Radiant series. So you can literally start at $50. You can work your way up to $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, depending on where you want to go and how far you're trying to take your project, or even just doing quick restoration work. So this stuff here, the shop line and the Omni Plus, and my personal choice and a lot of other big builders out there, this is a great all-around line that PPG provides that does everything from small collision repair on mass production, you know, Chevrolet, Ford, Mopar, Lamborghini. It works great for all of those, but also allows you to work a little bit of their custom coloring in there, and you still have a very, very nice product for not so much of a high price tag. It looks really good. The flow comes out great on all of these products. You've got the JC60 clear at the end. This is the Omni Plus paint here. The Omni Plus, a little bit of their, it's not their lowest end, it's not their highest end, right there in the middle. Very good paint to choose. The price isn't too bad on it, but I wouldn't go much lower than this, me personally. I think that this is a beautiful paint to flow with. The OmniPlus line is great. It lays nice. It flows good. It has decent coverage. Typically between three and a half to four coats, you'll get really nice coverage on everything. Some paints will only take two coats. Some paints will take six coats. It just depends on the quality of paint you're using. This, to me, lays really well for a three to four coat paint job. You have your primers. You've got your wiping cloths. You've got your prep solvent. All things that are required after the body work is done. You know, the rust is repaired, the body dents are straight, there's door dings, all of that stuff's gone, your scratches are gone. These are the next line of components you're gonna use to take you to that finishing step before you even get into wet sanding and buffing phase.
Which is another story.
This is just your paint phase.
So Bob, I noticed right here, starting from right and moving to the left,
yep,
the progression that you've got this set up. This is actually Prepsol. We call it Prepsol. It is a solution that removes grease,
yep,
so that you don't have any fish eyes, what we call fish eyes in the paint, or imperfections in the paint, and you completely wipe the body of the vehicle off several times to make sure there's no dust, residue, anything like that.
Yeah, and again, this goes back to, I think we had the conversation a couple days ago of doing, you know, how many times with these, you know, especially older cars, that you're literally touching every millimeter,
yep,
of that body.
You are.
You truly are. You not only through the entire body phase of repairing the steel, welding in panels, fixing rust holes, fixing pinholes, doing panel alignment, getting door set, the gaps right, you're then taking and touching every millimeter of that with Prepsol, and you're also going behind it with a terry cloth. So these are wiping cloths, these are strictly same thing. A lot of this stuff, and most people don't understand this, is throwaway material. So it's a lot of money getting thrown right out the freaking window. Prepsol just gets used up. It essentially dries up on your rag once you're done. Your wiping cloths are specifically a lint-free cloth, so you don't leave any residual behind. You take it, you dump your Prepsol onto your rag, you wipe every millimeter down of that panel you're working with to remove anything, whether it's wax and grease, whether there's an adhesive, whether there's maybe compound that got flung around from being in the body shop from another car getting buffed, whether it be from, you know, somebody's hands that's, you know, maybe walked past the car and just rubbed it. If you were sweating, for example, down here in South Florida, you lean over a car to paint and you sweat, that drip is going to leave an imperfection in your paint. Not going to be good. So you always have to wipe your product down. This is kind of your first step. This is a 5 pound box of it, 5 and 10 pound available. You just take them, you use them up, and you toss them out, and you buy new. It's that simple. Those are shop supplies. Once you're done with that, if you haven't primed the car already, you've got your primer and your hardener, your activator to mix in your primer. All of these are certain recommended ratios of how to mix what to what. So you have the perfect flow, it lays out, and it dries exactly the way the instructions say it would. Once that step is done, then you move into your paint. Your paint would be your Omni Plus, and then you have a reducer. All of these things are going to be a two-part, sometimes three-part system that have to mix, and they're all labeled on the bottles themselves. This is actually the paint we just did on the Pro Touring Bel Air we're doing. So this paint would be an MBP series. This is the Omni Plus MBP, as you can see on the front. This is a one-to-one mix. Most companies, and this is why I like staying with PPG, all of their product line paints are one-to-one. Once you know it in your head, you can't screw it up. It's that simple.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes paints are one-to-one and a half-to-one. Sometimes they're 1 to 2 to 1, so there's a lot of different mixtures and combinations. You have to add activators, all kinds of things. With PPG's paints, it's very simple. It's 1 to 1 mix. You have your paint, and they tell you exactly what reducer to use, an MR series reducer. There's multiples, an MR 187, 186, 185, and so on. All different layers of how quick they're going to dry.
Slow, fast,
and medium.
How quickly,
yep,
they're going to dry.
Typically, when I use when I do full vehicles down here in South Florida, it's very hot. We're typically 50%+ humidity. 80 plus degrees all the time. So when you shoot, I like to use a slow reducer. It allows me time to work that entire car so that the front fender's not drying by the time I'm at the rear. That works really good for me. If you're doing smaller stuff, maybe just a front bumper cover, say for a brand new Bentley like we're getting ready to do, I'll use a medium on that. That's gonna just be a one small shot. It'll lay perfect and it'll dry a lot faster than this would here. This is gonna be a day before you start really dicking with it and get into wet sanding and buffing, but it's a perfect layout down here in these temperature and humidity.
But one of the other things I see here, finally, is we have your universal clear coat. Now,
yep,
that your base coat is down and you've mixed, we're now ready to apply the clear coat or the top coat, which gives it its shine.
Yeah. So working with that, again, this is their Shopline JC60 Clear. This is a very good clear for what we're buying. It's great on the pocket. It looks very good. The quality of this clear comes out beautiful for everything you could possibly imagine from, again, the mass production collision repair all the way up to, you know, the Lamborghinis, the Bentleys, the Ferraris. They buff beautiful. A lot of those cars come off showroom floor with orange peel. You get a little grain in the thing. So you can actually work this with a, you know, your wet sanding and buffing stage. You can actually work it with a typical 2000 or 3000 grit sandpaper so you don't remove all that orange peel and you can get perfect clarity in your paint. but you still leave some of that factory peel so it matches the door,
exactly.
maybe to the hood, to the fender, whatever panel you may have just blended, it'll blend in very nice and not be a perfect clear shine. This will still give you a clear shine. If you do like this Pro Touring Bel Air, we just finished doing the wet sand and buff on that car, and it is that of a mirror. So you can get everything you want with this. You can get the grain if you want to match it to a stock blend, or if you want that show quality, you can also get it out of that shop line clear.
Excellent. I think our producer has a couple questions. Mr. Producer, did you have a couple questions here?
I have a couple questions. I got a warning from Texas by Richard.
Good morning, Richard, out in Texas. Abilene, Texas, I think Richard is. Good morning, Richard, out in Abilene, Texas. How you doing, man? How is everything?
I have an Angie, the GM guy.
Good morning, Angie, out there as well.
That would be good morning, guys. It's just getting short in today's slang.
Exactly. I believe that's Nate's wife. They just made it back to Virginia at 4:45 this morning. They drove through the night to get back up there.
And then I got a Nate. Love you guys.
Good morning, Nate.
Very good.
We love you, too. Hey, Bub, let's talk finally here a little bit about, before we close out this segment, I have three items here for you to discuss as well. First of all, can you tell us what this is here?
Yeah, so this is a piece of wood that I cut down from my backyard. Seriously. This is a paint mixing stick. These things are available if you guys have ever painted your house. You get them from Home Depot, only they're a lot fancier. They're cooler looking. They've got a little hump at the top for your hand to sit on. They got the Home Depot emblem at the top. There's Lowe's ones. All those things are great. These are just straight up rectangular pieces. They're 1-inch by 14-inch long mixing sticks. They're free to us. They give them to you when you do your paint supply orders, when you buy as much as we do. These are your paint mixing sticks just for that, straight mixing sticks. Again, I mentioned that, for example, the Omni Plus and also the MR Series Reducer are going to be a one-to-one mix. Once you mix those in the mixing cup, this is your stick to mix them around. That's it. You just want to mix them around so the two compounds start combining together, and then you're ready to put them into your gun through this strainer.
This, tell us a little bit about this, Bob.
So this is brought to you by Folgers, the fresh smell of waking up. This is actually...
The best part of waking up,
that's
Folgers
it.
In your strainer.
Or in your gravity-fed gun. This is a paint strainer.
What size tip would it take if you were doing coffee in your gun?
It'd be at least a 2.0.
At least a 2.0, ladies and gentlemen.
That kind of flow, yeah, you get a little bean in there.
There you go.
So this is a paint strainer. This is actually, there's a very small micron filter at the base of this thing. Nothing more than just cheap cardboard, that's all it is. And this, the point of this is to not pour, you're not filtering through your paint from your actual can into your mixing cup. You are literally taking it and going strainer into your gun, and then you're pouring your paint in behind that so that you filter everything that may have gotten in. Typically when you're working in a mixing room, you're working in a pretty sterile, clean environment as it is, so you don't really need to worry about these, but they're just the best precaution to put them in here to keep all and any possible imperfections, little small pieces of dust, dirt, anything that may get between your paint that's mixed, your clear, anything that you're working with, hardeners, even your primers. You want to filter them out straight into your gun, then you're ready to shoot.
Bob, I'm going to and coming into the end of this segment here, I want to do the one thing that will give everybody the secret to a perfect paint job. And that is what you hold in your hand. That
mixing.
Magic little mixing cup.
Let me
right
ask
here.
You something. I like to compare everything I do to food. I love food. Okay? I should really have my own food channel. So when you are making a cake.
I'm working on that now in my mind from a marketing perspective.
I'm telling
you,
dude.
Right?
So let's say if you are making a cake, if you're looking at that box, right, and the box has this cake that's like fluffy and it's like you want to just lick the box with it, the chocolate's there and like the vanilla that's going on with the sprinkles everywhere. When you're looking at that, you know that's a masterpiece, right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you want to follow the instructions that they suggest on the back to the freaking T to make it look like that?
Yes.
If you guess, your craft's not coming out like that.
Problem is, I don't eat sugars or cake.
And you can't read, so you're out. Completely.
And I can't read, ladies and gentlemen.
So if you were to go with that type of kind of theory, similarity, whatever you want to call it, that is the same thing when it comes to mixing paints, man. When it is a one-to-one ratio, which is going to be your paint to reducer, or for, let's talk into the clear lines, you're going to go with a 4-to-1. So that's 4 parts of clear, 1 part of your hardener. Same thing goes all the way across the board. You literally use this cup. You can't sit, and this is what a lot of people do. They'll start here, and they'll be standing over top of it, just pouring this stuff in like this and looking at their side. When you're looking at something from a 70-degree angle,
listen carefully.
You're going to be off an 1/8 of an inch, 1/4 of an inch. That is severe when it comes to mixing paints, especially when you're working with things that are hardeners or activators or things like your flow, which would be your reducers when you're shooting paint. That could change the whole thing. Your paint could either lay on dry, it could lay on blotchy. Too many people won't take the time. Get down at eye level, where hopefully you're using a mixing stand that's a little taller up so you're not so far down. But you want to get down to your eye level. For example, this is a 4-to-1. That would be for clear. We're going to go over to 1-to-1. This would be your paint mixture. First two columns, you'll want to get dead on with eye level with it to exactly where you're pouring that amount of fluid in. You're going to pour it up to your first one. That's going to be your one. You're going to match that, this number three, if that's the amount that you're using, the quantity of paint. You're going to go over to your next column for your one, and you're going to pour in your actual hardener up to the same amount. Or I'm sorry, the reducer up to the same amount, number three. So it's very easy to mix paint. You have to be at eye level. Don't look above. Don't look below. Dead on eye level with it, a perfect 90 is what it would be. If you drew a flat wall here and you were looking from here, that's a perfect freaking 90. It's that simple. Too many people are too lazy to do that, and you end up having crap jobs when you're done.
So, and here, ladies and gentlemen, is kind of what it looks like. Do not go, well, here's a one here, so here's a one here. No, this is one step here, this is the next step here, and this is the next step here. Very important to achieving a top shelf paint job.
And all of this stuff is just basic. It's either, you know, for example, like on your clear coats. Your clear coats, this is brand new, it's not open yet. This one is a 4-to-1 mixture. This is really hard to see. They actually print really small on these things for some reason. But on the sides, they actually show you four of the JC60, that's your clear, and they actually show you next to that is a JH63 or 64. That's the type of hardener that's going to go into it, so it would be 4-to-1 of that recommended hardener that matches their shop line clear. So you have a perfect mixture, perfect flow paint or clear every freaking time out of the gate. So when you set your gun the same way and you have all of the same product laid out the same way, 1-to-1, 4-to-1, 4-to-1, everything's laid out the same, you can get consistent and you can make every job look identical. It's
and
just
this,
that simple.
This, Bub, is what makes you one of the top three in the world today. You're consistent.
Well, this is just taking the time and caring. I mean, this is being consistent and caring about the product that you're doing and using one product
line.
You
care about
everything
the quality
matches.
Of everything you do.
Yeah.
You very, very, very much care
you
about
you get a lot
quality.
Of people out there that go like this.
Yep,
just pour a little bit of here.
90%
And they'll look at this. They'll pour a little bit of this.
Yep.
And then they'll grab the bucket and go like this. And like, nope, too thick. Pour some more of this in here and then shake it. And be like, no, a little watery. Let me put some of this in here to thin it out some. You know, you don't do that. It's very simple. You just take it, you follow the instructions. Every one of these things is labeled literally everywhere, right here on the front, MBP and MR series. So you match your MBP, MR. If you guys can freaking read A through Z, which is the alphabet, by the way, or say them backwards, Z through A, I know a lot of officers out there like to try that one. I can't do it sober, so I'm failing on that one.
Speaking of which, we want to give a shout out to one of my very good friends who is a local law enforcement person.
Yep.
I do not allow law enforcement personnel to be seen on camera. But we would like to say good morning to Kevin.
Yep, good morning, Kevin.
So, good morning, Kevin. But one of the things that we think about with you is we think about consistency. And we also hear, Bub, I always close out our shows by saying we need to reach out and touch somebody's life in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, I'd like to share a story with you, ladies and gentlemen. I went out to eat, and we sat down at the table. I was enjoying my dinner, but over my shoulder, I saw a gentleman in a wheelchair. So I got up and excused myself from the table, and I went over and very uninvitingly asked that couple, the elderly couple, if I could do anything to help them. Winds up, this gentleman is a 92-year-old maxofacial surgeon who spent his life here in Jupiter, Florida, taking care of reconstructing people's faces that had been involved in an accident. 92
By the way,
years
pretty
old.
Tricky business right there.
Very
That's a skill
business.
Set.
Skill set. 92 years old, and the gentleman just simply needed to go to the bathroom. I didn't need to interrupt my dinner, but this is what I illustrate every day, ladies and gentlemen. Always show acts of compassion. I asked the staff there to please lock the bathroom down so I could spend time with this gentleman. The gentleman's sister's friend was there assisting him, a lady. Obviously, she couldn't pick him up in and out of a wheelchair. So I stood there in the bathroom and helped him go to the bathroom for 30 minutes. Then we cleaned him up, washed his hands at the sink, and after they left, they came back and sat by the table with us and couldn't say enough good things about us. But we didn't do it for that reason. No sooner than I had paid our bill and gotten up and left, Bub, I walked out into the parking lot, and there was an elderly gentleman who was taking very shuffled, calculated steps so as not to fall. I ran over, I put my arm around him, I said, "How can I help you, sir?" He said, "I am one of 1,000 cancer patients with this type of cancer. There's no saving it at this point, but I'm an ex-Special Forces Green Beret military officer, and I'm going to make it through this thing." And I said, "Well, let me get you in your car, sir." And it literally, Bub, took us probably 45 minutes to go 20 feet. But that officer did not want me to bring his car to him. He wanted to make it there. And we got him in his car. We got him on his way. He doesn't have family here. I did leave him his card, our card, so if he needs anything, he can call us, and we'll be right there by his side to make sure he's got whatever he needs over there.
Really cool.
So,
yeah, really cool.
This is what I illustrate when I say, ladies and gentlemen, we are very blessed to have the things we have in our lives, even though we have a lot of burdens on us. There's financial pressures. There's customer pressures. Everybody has these
things
in their
lives. Well, it's all minor. You know, I look at that all the time. And I, whether it's
it's friends, family, people I meet on the street, it doesn't matter to me. You know, everything in life is just truly material items, you know. That's all it is. It's, you know, whether it's cars, whether it's the clothing you're wearing, it's all material. It's just about the way, you know, people live, the way they're raised, the way they treat others. And, you know, just, you know, before you know it, life's over, dude.
That's it.
You got one chance and no reason to go out and destroy it. You know, you got too many people out there that act stupid. You know, there's, I'll straight up throw it out there. I don't care. There's all these gangbang wannabe dudes that just go out and think they're hard because they're freaking 110 pounds and their pants are below their dick.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter to me. Like, it doesn't matter. Let's roll on the street if you want to roll.
That's it.
I don't need 100 people to come at me.
No, you don't.
Like, that's it. Stand up, do something for somebody.
Do something positive.
You know, what are you going to do for the world that's going to leave a mark in a positive way?
Well, I can tell you, these two gentlemen that I was blessed to have in my life last night, one spent his life giving back to people who had, whose faces had been marred. Think about that. And the other spent his life.
Yeah, that's a lot of power too, man, because that's, you know, most people look at their looks as their self-esteem.
Right.
So he's literally controlling, you know, he has that power in his hands to change the way someone feels the rest of their life.
That's right.
That's doing something for everyone.
So 2 hours of my night last night was spent helping others. This is what I illustrate. This is what you do as well when you see people who are in need and need some help.
Yep.
We thank that gentleman for his service to our country and for helping people look good. Those are good things that they both did out there. Well, until tomorrow.
Just keep on doing it, Bubba Style.
Ladies and gentlemen, you hear me say it every day when we close this show, but I want you to reach out to touch somebody's life in a very positive manner today. Open the door for somebody who's got packages in their hand, an elderly person. Get up and see if you can help somebody to the bathroom.
What is this?
Bub, you got a big black thing.
It's a lower control arm, dude.
What is this, Bub? An upper control arm?
I gotta go, man.
You just turned it around.
It's an upper control arm, ladies and gentlemen. Huh?
Bye.
It may not be comfortable to sit with somebody who's going to the bathroom for 30 minutes on a toilet seat, but you know what? You do what you gotta do. You suck up your pride and you get there. If somebody has holes in the bottom of their shoes, pay us. It's at the corner. Buy them a pair of cheap shoes. If they're hungry, McDonald's is just as cheap. Step out today to touch somebody's life in a positive manner. Until tomorrow, keep on doing it. Bubba Style.